So, as Maggie mentioned earlier, I'm going to be speaking a bit about the patient-provider dyad and that contribution to patient activation. So patient activation is defined as a patient's readiness and willingness to take on the role of managing their own health and healthcare. And it's higher levels of patient activation are associated with improved health behaviors, disease self-management, behaviors such as adherence to drug regimens, and actual improved health outcomes, including mental health. So the best known measure of patient activation is the PAM, which is a well-validated measure. It really focuses on individual patient agency, and a lot of patient activation is really conceptualized about what is that individual able to do on their own in terms of management. So it sort of captures four areas: a belief that taking an active role in managing their own health is important, patient's confidence and knowledge that they are able to take action, that they have had some success in taking action, and that they're able to continue to do that under stress. So we know, though, that patients don't sort of exist in a vacuum. They exist in this working relationship with a provider. So one could expect that provider relational factors would contribute to patient's sense of activation. There's a little bit of work in this area. So there's one cross-sectional study that found that more equitable patient-provider roles and greater patient trust in their provider is associated with increased activation. So you can imagine that the degree to which providers promote and clearly communicate a shared understanding of the illness that the patient is dealing with and the importance of patients taking a role, promotion of self-efficacy that a patient is able to take a role in managing their own health care is going to contribute to greater activation. There's been little prior longitudinal work and very little work in the kind of settings that DECIDE was implemented in, so these community-based mental health settings. So the aim of our study is to estimate the effects of patient-provider relational factors, and we looked at two, therapeutic alliance and communication, on patient activation in community-based mental health settings over time. So this is just looking at the control cases of the DECIDE trial, so don't think about intervention. This is just the control cases. So we're really sort of looking here at a natural history of patient activation. So you've heard a bit about the trial and our participants and the ways that we collected data. So for the control group, there were 264 participants, and we needed to impute data for about 36% who are missing one or more variables. So as I mentioned, the PAM is a 13-item scale that captures these four key areas, and it's standardized on a 0 to 100 scale with higher numbers indicating greater patient activation. So to measure therapeutic alliance, we use the Working Alliance Inventory that is a 12-item scale. We used a two-factor approach. It seemed to be more appropriate for this study. So there were two factors, alliance on task and goal, and then alliance on bond. And for communication, we used the communication subscale from the Kim Alliance scale. So we controlled for patient characteristics and clinical factors that I'll talk more about in a moment. And then we'll be looking today at two time points, baseline and our follow-up period, which was approximately 4 months later. So this is our conceptual model. So we see SES, education, employment status, language, race, ethnicity, gender, and age are all kind of known contributors to patient activation. So we controlled for those factors. And then we also wanted to look at mental health status as an individual patient characteristic, their diagnosis, their self-reported mental health status, and their self-reported number of disability days related to their mental illness. And then we look at those contributing to patient-provider relational factors and also clinical contributors. So you can imagine that we're coming in at one time point. It would be really important in thinking about therapeutic alliance and communication how long that patient and provider have been working together before that baseline time point. So we controlled for the number of visits, self-reported visits, number of visits from the administrative data, and self-reported length of treatment. So we're going to look at, in our final outcome, we're going to look at three different models. The first is just looking at the association between patient-provider relational factors and activation at our follow-up period. And the second one is going to then include patient characteristics. And the third will bring in clinical contributors as well. So this is the demographics of the control group. So just a couple of highlights, slightly more men, a large percentage that were Latino, and a large percentage, about 56%, that were immigrants. About 70% were not employed, and so consequently had public health insurance. Depressive disorder was the most common disorder that patients reported. So our baseline results, our average patient activation score was a mean of 72, and that was at baseline. And then across from baseline to follow-up, there was on average a 2.5 point increase in patient activation, but there was a lot of variability there. So we saw significantly greater change in activation for females, those who are middle-aged, those who had a high school education, and those who had poor self-reported mental health status. And just that self-reported mental health status was kind of one of the, there was the most significant difference in follow-up patient activation. This is not controlled for anything. So there was a 10-point increase in those who had a self-reported poor mental health status. They started out quite a bit lower than the mean at baseline compared to those who had excellent mental health at baseline, who experienced a much smaller increase in activation but had a higher baseline activation score. So this next slide is really, again, just looking kind of at our cross-sectional baseline associations. So you can see that there is an association with therapeutic alliance, specifically with the task and goal factor, and not with the bond factor, not with communication. The other group, higher association with compared to whites with for patient activation. And then that high school age group. So those who had either fair or poor mental health status was associated with a lower baseline patient activation score, as was those with higher self-reported disability days, and those in the other category. So this is the three models that I mentioned earlier, and I'm only showing you the significant predictor, so you won't see that whole laundry list of factors that we included in the models. But in the first model and across all three models, you continue to see a significant relationship between baseline therapeutic alliance and patient activation at the follow-up point. So by model three, it's sort of a marginal relationship, but you still do see some relationship. And nothing for bond, nothing for communication, higher PAM at baseline, higher activation at follow-up. And again, you see that high school education level. Those with self-reported poor mental health at baseline had higher scores at follow-up compared to those who had self-reported good mental health. And those with disability, greater number of disability days had lower patient activation scores at follow-up. So our conclusions are that patient-provider alliance on the tasks and goals of therapy specifically predict greater prospective activation scores. and that we're seeing increased self-reported mental health disability and seems to inhibit patient activation over time. So some of our limitations are that even with our longitudinal design, which is a contribution to the literature, given that most of the prior studies have been just cross-sectional, there's still limitations in what we're able to say about causality in this study. So the implications, though, are that this gives some evidence to the fact that there's a strong therapeutic relationship, particularly in coming together and understanding between the patient and provider what are the tasks and goals of therapy, contributes to greater patient activation at a follow-up period. So there's some suggestion here that the direction that Maggie and Nick are taking with their current PCORI grant is probably going to be beneficial for patient activation. And these results align with a larger agenda in healthcare promoting collaborative care, such as patient-centered care, shared decision-making, and patient-engaged care. Oops, wrong way. So acknowledgments and thank you.